Galatians chapter 5 as we continue our study of the fruit of the Spirit. And tonight as we read through this passage in Galatians 5, I want to ask you to notice the fruit of the Spirit called goodness. And having goodness upon our minds, whatever that is, we can know that it is not the deeds of the flesh, which we will read about. Whatever goodness is, it is not the deeds of the flesh. Galatians 5:16. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. For the flesh sets its desire against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. For these are in opposition to one another, so that you may not do the things that you please. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the deeds of the flesh are evident, which are immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmities, strife, jealousy, outburst of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, envyings, drunkenness, carousings, and things like these, of which I forewarn you, just as I have forewarned you, that those who practice such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. Now those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. Let us not become boastful, challenging one another, envying one another. Let us pray. We come, O Lord, with thanksgiving tonight as we prepare our hearts this week to remember the great things you have done in our lives. You have given us life and breath and all things. You have blessed us with one another. We know the joys of married love and family love, friendship in Christ because of you. We know your daily care over our lives, times when so many of us here thought that we could not go on, did not know where to turn or what to do, and you were faithful and brought us through those times. Sometimes we soon forget, but you do not, and we ask that you would stir up our memories to consider our lives that we might give thanks. We thank you for Jesus Christ most of all, that blessed gift of God, who came from his own will because he wished to follow his Father's will. And we ask that you would help us to give thanks for him, for the humility and the love and the grace and tenderness that rested in his heart, which caused him to endure such humiliation, such suffering on behalf of those who deserve nothing from God but his judgment. Help us to understand why we should give thanks. And even this evening, as we look into the question of what is good and what is goodness, we ask that you would help us to gaze fully into your heart, O God, that we may see what it means to be good, to understand how to become like you. We thank you that the Lord Jesus Christ came not only to save us from our sins, but to make us like Himself in our character and in our deeds. Hear our prayer and accept the praise and thanksgiving which we bring. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The fruit of the Spirit is not something that you can control. The harder you try to produce love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control, to produce them yourselves in your life, the truth is, the further you fall short. The only way to produce the fruit of the Spirit is as a byproduct of faith in Jesus Christ. That is why he said in verse 24, "Now those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit." We are called to live for Christ, to live by faith in the Son of God who gave himself up for us. We are called to live for Christ in Christ's way, loving him, obeying him, keeping his commandments, and depending upon his strength and the strength of his Spirit at work in our hearts to love him and to keep his commandments and to build a life that is honoring to him. And the byproduct of that exercise of daily faith in him, the one who was crucified, who gave himself up for us, the byproduct of dedicating our lives to him as Lord and King, is a life that produces the fruit of the Spirit. We are not to produce these virtues in and of themselves, but rather as byproducts of faith in Christ. And goodness is one of the results of following Jesus Christ. And it reveals the Spirit's work in our hearts. Are you good? If someone were to look at your life and describe it in characteristics, would they use the term goodness? Most of us want to say, "I hope so. I want it to be so." But what is good and what is goodness really depends upon what the Bible describes it to be and whether or not it is a characteristic of our daily life. All of the fruits of the Spirit here are to be characteristics of the Christian as byproducts of faith in Christ. If one loves Christ, he loves. If one knows the mercies and forgiveness of Christ with heaven as his home, he has joy. If one believes that Jesus Christ's blood and righteousness has made peace with God, they have the beginnings of peace in their heart. And as they gaze into the patience of God with their life, day after day after day, they begin to understand how to show patience. When they consider how kind God is, what he puts up with this world in order to bring many into his eternal kingdom, sparing not even his own son for the guilty, for those that are not good, and they understand that the Lord is kind, then kindness becomes part of their life and character as well. The same is true of goodness. The more we understand how God is good and what goodness is, the more we see goodness in the face of Jesus Christ and understand what he is like in his goodness toward us, the more goodness is manifested in our character and in our life. Turn with me to Ephesians 5 this evening. The word goodness in this passage in Galatians 5:22 is used only four times in the New Testament. And this is one of them. In Ephesians 5, verse 9, it says, "The fruit of the light consists in all goodness and righteousness and truth." But if we're to understand what goodness and righteousness and truth means, we need to read the context. And I would propose to you that if you want to know what goodness is, Ephesians 5, verses 1 through 9 tells you something about it. "Therefore, be imitators of God, God as beloved children, and walk in love, just as Christ also loved you and gave himself up for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God as a fragrant aroma. But do not let immorality or any impurity or greed even be named among you, as is proper among saints. And there must be no filthiness and silly talk and coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. For this you know with certainty, that no immoral and or impure person or covetous man who is an idolater has an inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not be partakers with them. For you were formerly darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the light consists in all goodness and righteousness and truth, trying to learn what is pleasing to the Lord." As I have tried to define goodness for the fruit of the Spirit, I can only say that it is something like this. It is being like God in your moral loves and choices. It has to do with being like God is in His character and being. To love what God loves and hate what God hates. And choose what God would choose. And in this passage where He speaks of the fruit of the light that is to adorn those who are children of light, goodness is described in imitating God, which is described in terms of walking in love as Christ loved you and gave himself up for you. Of not being involved in immorality, hating evil, impurity and greed, not even being named in your life, not being known as a greedy person, an immoral person, an impure person, not becoming involved with filthiness, and silly talk and coarse jesting, which are not fitting. There is a friend of mine who has been in the pastorate for many years. And my wife and I finally had to break off contact with him because of his coarse jesting, his filthy talk. It is interesting to me, as I've been in churches off and on and been around pastors, that sometimes the camaraderie of the Church of God seems to make it okay to be involved in various kinds of silly talk, filthy talk, and coarse jesting. But these things are not fitting. God doesn't do that. We're to walk in love as children of light, bearing the fruit of the children of light, which consist in all goodness and righteousness and truth, being like God is, loving what God loves, hating what God hates, restructuring our moral loves with God as our model. It is said in Romans 8 that one of the reasons that God has saved us is to make us in the image of Christ. To make us like Him in His character and in His being. There is a difference between being good and doing good. And the attribute of Galatians 5:22 is not doing good. It is being good. One may do good without being good. Doctors and teachers and workers and mothers and fathers do good things to others and for others in their work and in their duties. Yet may harbor hatred and bitterness and anger in their hearts. There's a difference between being good and doing good. There is a hymn which goes, "He died that we might be forgiven. He died to make us good." The fruit of the Spirit consists in goodness. Now, in order to understand how that fruit of the Spirit, exactly what it is in our inner being, to love what God loves and to hate what God hates, to be good as God is good, requires that we study what God is like in His goodness. And then how the Christian is to seek to be good like God. And I'd like you to turn to several scriptures with me tonight that discuss the goodness of God. Open with me to Exodus chapter 33 tonight as we look into the scriptures and understand what goodness is. And tonight's format will be more like a Bible study as we look up several scriptures. So I encourage you to open your Bibles and follow along with me. Romans 3:12 says that men are not good by nature. There are none who do good, not even one. Rousseau was a French philosopher who taught that man is good by nature. And I think I've shared this story with you before, but I can remember sitting in philosophy class and studying how he believed that if you place a child in a garden who has no contact with other human beings, and you supply that child's food and clothing and shelter and good books to read and things of that nature, that that child will never do evil. That it is men who teach children to do evil. Of course, you've always got to wonder, how did those men who once were good as children become evil? And the thing that is so disturbing about Rousseau's philosophy is that it is the foundation for modern education. That if you leave a child alone and permit him to say and think and feel and do whatever he wishes, he will turn out to be a good, well-rounded person. But do not bring instruction and moralisms and discipline into his life to inhibit his freedom. And thus we have what is called the permissive society. You didn't know it was rooted in philosophy, did you? I was educated to be a teacher, and I was taught that this is what we must do. Never teach moralisms to a child. Let them say and think whatever they wish and do whatever they wish so that they will become a real person. Romans said, "There is none who does good, no, not one." The Bible describes God as good. Goodness is as much a part of his nature as omnipotence is. He's almighty. As omnipresence is, he's everywhere at once. As omniscience is, he knows all things, and he's also fully and completely just and holy and merciful and good. This means that everything God does has the stamp of goodness upon it, even when he judges the world for its sin. In Exodus chapter 33, verse 18, Moses said, "I pray thee, show me thy glory." And he said, "I myself will make all my goodness pass before you, and will proclaim the name of the Lord before you, and I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I will show compassion on whom I will show compassion." Moses asked God, "Show me what you are like. I want to know what exactly is the essence of God. I want to see your glory. What makes you a glorious, honorable, powerful person?" And God replied, "I will show all my goodness to pass before you." God is good. If you want to know what good is and what goodness is, it has to be compared to God. In his being, in his thinking, in his feeling, in his willing. That is what good is. The rich young ruler came to Jesus in Matthew 19, verses 16 and 17. And he fell down before him and he said, "Good master, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said, "Why do you call me good? No one is good but God." We have to understand God's nature in order to understand what we are to be like. God said to Moses, "I will show you all my goodness and will proclaim the name of the Lord, and I will be gracious on whom I'll be gracious and compassionate on whom I will be compassionate." Whatever goodness is, it has something to do with being gracious and compassionate. We know from definitions that we hear at conferences and books we've read and so forth that the idea of grace is showing love and mercy to the undeserving. Unmerited, undeserved favor. To be a gracious person means that there is something in your heart that overlooks the terrible condition of the other. And because you are full of grace and compassion for their condition, you care more about their needs than your own and do something about it. That's what it means to be good. You might say, "Well, that's the definition of grace." Yes, it is. Or that's the definition of love. Yes, it is. But goodness is that part of the nature of God that causes him to want to be loving, gracious, and kind to the undeserving. If only we could translate that into our homes, they would be different. If we could translate it into our society, the changes would be enormous. Into the workplace, it might even be fun going to work for a change for some of us. God is good, and goodness at the root core of his very nature. And that goodness is displayed in his acts as well. Turn with me to Psalm 136. The Psalms are full of statements about the goodness of God, and Psalm 136 is just one of those Psalms. And it describes in what ways God is good. There's a difference between being good and doing good. You can do good without being good, but in being good, you always do good. And in Psalm 136, verse 1, it says, "Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his loving kindness is everlasting." Now, it makes an opening statement. We should give thanks to God, for he is good. But what does that mean? How is God good? How is his goodness displayed in the earth so we can understand what is in his heart? Well, this psalm is full of examples of how God is good. In verse 4, he alone does great wonders. In verse 5, he made the heavens with skill. In verse 6, he spread out the earth above the waters. In verse 7, he made the great lights. In the work of creation, as we look at the universe and admire its complexity and immensity, we see the goodness of God. Especially those of us who live upon the earth and admire how day in and day out the sun rises and sets as we see it. He sends the rain to fall on the just and unjust. He causes food to come forth from the ground to feed our mouths. And if it were not for his goodness that causes his almighty power to bring order to this planet that we live on, that we might have air to breathe and food to eat and life among ourselves, the entire universe would be total chaos. To observe the universe and the complexity of nature is to see the goodness of God, that he is benevolent in his heart toward men. He shows his goodness in other ways for which we should give thanks. In verse 10, he smote the Egyptians in their firstborn. How can God be good and do that? Well, first of all, because the Egyptians deserve nothing but God's wrath to begin with. And secondly, this was his means to bring redemption to the people of Israel and judgment on the land of Egypt, because he is good. He hates evil. He is so good that he will let no sin go unpunished. He is so good that he is going to eradicate this universe of any weakness and sin and decay that entered because of Adam and Eve's sin. In his justice and judgment, his goodness is displayed as well. He loves righteousness. He hates sin and wickedness. He brought Israel out of their midst, and that was good. He divided, in verse 13, the Red Sea asunder. Verse 14, Israel passed through the midst of it. Verse 15, he overthrew Pharaoh and his army in the Red Sea. He delivered his people from Egyptian bondage. He fed them in the wilderness. And all of this is a display of God's goodness, his care in his heart for the people on whom he had set his love, and his moral choice to do something about the goodness that was in his heart toward them. In verse 25, it says he gives food to all flesh because he is good. God is good in creation and in providence. In Psalm 27, I think there is a wonderful couple of verses that you and I need to read quite often. It is a psalm of David, of fearless trust in God. And he said, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the defense of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? And then he said in verse 13, I would have despaired had I not believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. This is our counterpart to Romans 8:28. And we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love Him, who are called according to His purpose. How can we know? How can we be spared from despair? The answer of the scriptures is because God is good. And you may say, well, I don't understand that. I look at my life and all of my life isn't good. As I call good, as I feel good is, I see evil, I see sin, I see oppression, sometimes I see persecution. How can I have hope that I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living? And the answer to that question is because God doesn't change. And He is good. And it is His intention to do good to His people, even in circumstances that are very grievous and difficult. We read in Psalm 119, verse 68, Thou art good and doest good. David prayed that. This was the man who saw his own son rise up and rebel against him and chase him out of Jerusalem. This was the man who did honor to Saul in those early days and served him faithfully, and saw Saul turn upon him and throw spears at him and curse his name. This is the man who saw the people of Israel turn their backs upon the one who delivered them from the Philistines and established them as great in the world. And yet, he could pray, Thou art good and doest good. It was good for me that I was afflicted, that I might keep Thy law. It is trust in the goodness of God's character that gives us hope as we look at His works in providence in our lives. He has displayed His goodness every day. He feeds every person that's alive on the face of the earth today that's eating. That food comes from God. The air we breathe comes from God. The rain from heaven comes from God. Our life comes from God. The scriptures come from God. Christ comes from God. The church comes from God. Our friends, our family, everything comes from God. The God who is good in His nature. Jesus said to His disciples, Does not the Father in heaven know how to give good gifts to His children? The life of Joseph is a testimony to how God is good in his heart. Joseph, partly due to his own sins, was sold into slavery by his brothers. Told his father that he had been killed. Sold into slavery in Egypt. Indentured to a household, thrown into jail, and then by the gifts of God to him, he was raised to the second only highest position in Egypt and saved the whole country and the known world in the Mediterranean basin by his management of grain in famine. And one day his brothers stood before him, the brothers who had sold him into slavery, and told their father that he'd been killed. And they finally realized who Joseph was, that it was their brother they were standing before, who had power over them now. And here is what he said: "You meant it evil against me, but God meant it for good, to bring about this present result, to preserve many people alive." God always has a good intention, a good plan, even when you suffer. He is good. And he only does good. He doesn't do evil. He neither sins nor tempts one to sin. He is one who cannot look upon sin without disgust. And except for the mercies that are found in Jesus Christ, out of his goodness, he would judge every one of us and cast us into the outer darkness and still be good. But in his goodness, he permits evil to exist for a time to bring about a present result which is better. The only way that you can believe this, in the moment of the affliction, in the moment of the trial, is to believe that he is good. Now you might be saying, well, what does this have to do with the fruit of the Spirit called goodness? Simply this: if you do not believe that God is good to you in times of trial, you will not be good to others when they bring you trial. It all begins with faith in God, trust in God, believing that the God of the Bible is good, so that we treat others with the benevolence in our heart and the moral choices to love that he himself first treats us. Christians seek to be like God as they develop the fruit of goodness. Turn with me to Luke chapter 6. Okay, how would goodness look in your life? If it is being what God is like, what would it look like? Well, this is the first thing. It means having a benevolent attitude toward other people. In Luke chapter 6, verse 27, Jesus said, "But I say to you who hear, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who mistreat you." Now you may be saying, well, that's good, but that's too hard to do. Well, no, it's not, because when you were yet Christ's enemy, he loved you. When you hated God, he did good to you. When you cursed him, he blessed you. And when you cared nothing for him, the Son of God was in heaven praying for you. To be good to our enemy, to love our enemy, to do good to those who hate us, is nothing more than being like God. Whoever hits you on the cheek, offer him the other also. And whoever takes away your coat, do not withhold your shirt from him either. Give to everyone who asks of you, and whomever takes away what is yours, do not demand it back. And just as you want men to treat you, treat them in the same way. And if you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners do the same thing. And if you lend to those from whom you expect to receive, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners in order to receive back the same amount. But love your enemies and do good and lend, expecting nothing in return, and your reward will be great, and you will be the sons of the Most High, for He Himself is kind to ungrateful and evil men. The fruit of the Spirit called goodness is described, I believe, as the intention of the heart to be like God toward other men, no matter what they are like. No matter. If one person in a home were good, no matter what anyone else was like, and it was their intention and the focus of their heart and life to be good and to do good, I believe there would be transformation in our homes. If not everyone becoming a Christian and everyone acting right, there would be goodness brought into that home, and God would bless it. I believe that if people in an assembly of believers dedicated themselves individually to being good and having the attitude toward everyone else in the assembly that God has toward them, having benevolent concern and good for them in their hearts as first upon their hearts, that there wouldn't be complaining, grumbling, disputing, divisions, factions, envyings. There would be a group of people who are trying to be like God toward each other, who would not think of complaining that they are not ministered to as well as they are ministering to others. Does God get an even deal from you any day? Do you ever return to God what He has first given to you? Then where does this attitude come from? That I deserve something from my spouse, from my children, from my church and my friends, because I am so good to them. And if they do not give in like measure what I have dealt to them, then I will quit being good. God is so good in His character and being that He cannot quit being good. It is His nature to be good, to be more concerned for others' needs than His own, and to do something about it. And they do not have to give an equal return for Him to keep giving to them. Do good. Love your enemies. And you will be the sons of the Most High. For He Himself is kind to ungrateful and evil men. We could look at other scriptures tonight, like 1 Peter 3 and Romans chapter 12, where we're taught to never take vengeance. Because vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. And that we're not to be overcome by evil in others, but overcome evil with good. But here's what we really need to see in closing tonight. For the Christian to believe that God is good in his heart, he has to do one thing every day. He has to look at the cross of Jesus Christ and see that God let nothing stop him from being good to the believer. Nothing. Is it too inconvenient for you to be good to your family and friends? Well, it was pretty inconvenient for the Son of God to lay aside his glory robes and come to earth for 33 years and listen to men doubting him, criticizing him, ridiculing him, cursing him, spitting him, slapping him, crucifying him. That was pretty inconvenient. But he was so good that he let nothing deter him from being good to his people, not even a cross. Is it too much trouble to be good? It wasn't too much trouble for him. He came because he wanted to be good. He wanted to do good. He wanted to take people who were destined for God's wrath and an eternal hell and set them in high places and shower them with forgiveness and love and kindness eternally, because he is good in his heart and had a concern for those ones that were given him from before the foundation of the world. And he would let nothing, no trouble, no suffering, no inconvenience stop him from being good. God is the standard of goodness. Christians seek to be good like God. The Lord Jesus Christ's life was the perfect example of the fruit of the Spirit called goodness. He was good to everyone he met, and he all the times when we have been bad. And by such a benevolent act of goodness that overlooked and ruled over the badness of those he came to do good for, he showed us what it means to be good. Every day we look at our spouse and our children, and we decide on the basis of the gospel of Christ whether we're going to be good to them. Every day we go to work with believers and unbelievers, and we decide on the basis of the gospel of Christ whether we're going to be good and do good. Every time we come to church and worship the same Lord Jesus Christ, and during the week as we see each other and meet each other and speak to each other, we decide on the basis of what we believe about the gospel of Christ whether we are going to be good and do good. And the only way I know, as with all of the fruits of the Spirit, to increase and grow in our lives things like goodness, is to look full in the face of Jesus Christ and be good like he is good. He died that we might be forgiven. He died to make us good, to actually be more concerned for others than for ourselves, and to do something about it. And he shed his blood not only to purchase our souls, but to capture our hearts, to make us good. I don't believe, like I said this morning, that you can look full into the face of Jesus Christ and believe that he loved you and gave himself up for you and keep him upon your heart and your mind and be bad. To your husband, to your wife, to your children, and to your friends. As we look full into the face of Jesus Christ and live by faith and not by sight, and remember Jesus Christ, the Son of David, risen from the dead, learning what goodness is at his feet toward us, we learn how to be good toward others. Come to Jesus Christ. Live by faith in him. And you will learn how to be good. Let us pray.